Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Give it up for Jesus. Hey, how good has the service been so far? Come on now. That's it? That's it? How good has the service been so far? Come on now. Hey, Pastor Jurgen didn't even have to say anything on the video, and he was dropping it like it was hot. Come on now. It was spicy. That was so good. So good. Is anybody expectant in the house tonight? I'm not convinced. Does anybody feel the presence of God in this place tonight? I'm telling you, it's so prevalent. It's so thick that God's presence is here. And when his presence shows up, incredible things are bound to happen. So I hope you came tonight with some expectation. I hope you came tonight to give something, to sow something into this environment. Because when you sow something into this environment, you'll find God will respond in a profound way. And what you bring into this service, what you bring into this message, he is bound. He is bound where his presence shows up. He will return it sevenfold. God is not a taker. God is a giver. And God is going to give you something tonight. God is going to give you a word that you need in due season. God is going to give you hope if you're hopeless. God is going to give you that miracle if you need a miracle. God is going to give you the passion. He's going to give you the insight. He's going to unlock something inside of you. So if you're excited, if you're ready, if you're hungry for God tonight, then give Jesus Christ a shout like you've never given him a shout before. Good. Come on, my man. How you guys doing back here? That was so good. Worship was so good. I could seriously just stay in worship for so long. Why don't you grab a seat? Let's give it up for our worship team. Seriously. Man. Whew. Better believe it. So it's a good joke, a running joke behind that. So Garrison, I thank you. I can't see you, buddy, but I appreciate that. He dims the light so he can see him. Love you. There it is, red hoodie and all. Garrison, as you do that, I see a ring, a circle around you. I don't know what that means. It looks like it's white plated, white gold maybe? No, okay, let's stop. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm so sorry. I don't know what that could possibly mean. Sorry. Are they still together? Was that too soon? Was that too soon to pull that My City? I'm so sorry. Oh, man. Here we go. Hey, first things first. I'm the realist. So first things first, let's get started by saying we have to recognize our pastors. No, yeah, give it up for our pastors. Absolutely. Seriously. Give it up for our pastors. Man, they are the real deal. I'll tell you what. I've had many pastors in my life. But I've never had a pastor like Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. Unbelievable. There was a point in my life where I thought I would never have another pastor. There was a point where I came to grips in life where I had distanced myself from the idea that I would ever give my loyalty to another pastor. And maybe you've felt like that. Maybe, and we don't have the time or the space to go into it. And I remember when I was pastoring, and I remember we came and we were sitting in one of the furthest seats in Central, and I had my head down, and I remember the time I felt like God say, "That's your pastor." Because I'd been looking for an environment that was word-centered, but I couldn't explain because I knew the word. I've been so ingrained. The word has been so ingrained in my life that I knew the word, but there was something deeper I was looking for. And I remember Pastor Juergen was talking about the Ark of the Covenant and how the man reached out and he touched the ark and he died. And he said, and I was looking down at the time, and he said, whenever you try to stop a move of God, it always brings death. And I remember looking up, and I remember God saying, "There's your pastor." Unbelievable amount of respect for Pastor Juergen and Pastor Leanne for everything they did in Soden. Let's never take for granted. Let's never, never take that for granted. Absolutely. We are so blessed that God would send them here. Our campus pastors are unbelievable. Our campus, not a formality, I'm telling you right now, our campus pastors are unbelievable. What Pastor Matt brings into the ministry alone is incredible. We have to honor what they do and what Pastor Michaela's been doing with the kids' church and that video. Do you know I was 4 years old when I trusted Christ as my Savior? My mother was there. My mother was there. Can we never underestimate the power, the influence at our kids' church, the leadership that happens in the kids' church that happens? I remember when I was about 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, and I remember feeling the call of God on my life at that age. And I remember going to my parents and saying, "I don't know what to do with it." And they said, "Well, we got to get you in front. We got to get you to the pastor. We got to get you." And the pastor said, "Well, if you're called to preach, then you got to preach." Right? Absolutely incredible what's happening in our kids' church. Absolutely what's incredible happening in our church. The Bible says if you walk with wise men, you will be wise. So what you associate with, what you choose to associate with, the Bible says you will become. And you'll find at C3, if this is your first time, please come back. Here our lead pastor, here our campus pastor. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. But what you'll find at C3 is there's a culture of contagious generosity. There is a culture of belief, a culture of faith, a culture of hope, a culture of acceptance, a culture of love, and a culture of, most importantly, in my opinion, truth. And they'll love you so much that they won't let you stay the same way. I love our church. I love our church. So tonight I'm coming with a word that I believe is absolutely 100% undoubtedly going to change somebody's life. I'm not just saying it. I believe it. I believe it. And there's three types of people in this room. There are three types of people in this room. The first type of person in this room is somebody you just got out of a battle. Do I have any representation? I just got out of a battle, and God rescued me. God saved me. God showed up in some miraculous fashion. Do I have anybody who can say, "My God came through"? That's the first type. The second type of person is you are in a battle, and you need a word to survive tonight. I've been there. Do I have any people like that? It's okay. It's okay to say, "I'm in a battle. I'm in the thick of it. I'm in the hunt right now, and I can't see the end, but I know my God will supply all my needs. I know my God will take me through. I know my God will see me to the other end, but I'm in the middle of a battle, and I need some hope. I need some power. I need something that'll lead me through." Okay? So we're 2 for 2. There's a third type of person in this room. This might be the most concerning. You don't know it yet, but you're about to be in a battle. This word tonight, for those who are in a battle, this word is going to give you context. Or those who just got out of a battle, excuse me, this word will give you context. Those of you who are in the middle of a battle, this word tonight, it's going to give you courage to stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord." And those of you who are preparing for a battle, this word will help keep you calm and keep peace, a peace that passes all understanding, that'll keep your heart in mind, that'll say, "I'm in the middle of a storm, but God is my supply." Are you ready? All right. All right. So we're doing a series. Tell me the title. I want to see if you're paying attention. Christmas at the Movies. I'm checking to see if you're engaged with me, people. I'm checking. Christmas, I looked behind this. You guys see me cheat? And I couldn't. Okay. Christmas. Christmas at the Movies. And a few years ago, this movie came out And it didn't quite do the story justice. And in maybe a large part, you guys remember the movie about Moses a few years ago that came out? Do you remember who played Moses? Christian Bale. Maybe part of the reason why I'm not personally a fan of the movie is because I thought he maybe would make a better Batman than he did Moses. And maybe part of the reason I felt that way is because I didn't feel like he made a great Batman in and of himself. Oh, really? Did I just lose the crowd? I just struggled with Batman walking up to Pharaoh and saying, I'm not wearing hockey pads. Like, I just struggled with the idea of it. Is that okay? Where are the other drugs going? Okay, I just couldn't. I just couldn't picture him as Moses. I picture Moses maybe a little Liam Neeson, or I don't know. Who else? Who would be a good, maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, I don't know, just kind of like Moses. And so here's what I'm going to attempt to do tonight. And if you'll come with me on this journey, I want to talk to you tonight about the title of my message is Delivered. Delivered. And I'm hoping I can do justice to what I believe is probably one of the most powerful stories, for sure one of the most powerful stories in Scripture. Join me as we look at this text. Go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Redeemed, the word meaning Ga'al. Ga'al, redeemed you, meaning I have avenged you, I have ransomed, I have delivered. Oh, okay. Delivered you. For I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. I'm not even going to make it out of this text. I'm just going to start preaching. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor the flames scorch you. For why? For I am the Lord, your God, is what he says. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior, Yesha, meaning to save or to deliver. Oh, we're learning a little bit about God. Deliver. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Verse 13. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? God is doing something in your life that the enemy cannot reverse it. The enemy cannot undo. And what God starts today, he will see through. He will see it through. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began it. He will finish it. Verse 15 and verse 16. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord. Now watch how he describes himself. Watch how he describes himself in verse 16. Who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. If I gave you an opportunity and said, you have one chance, one opportunity. Oh, sorry, that was Eminem. Okay. Stay with me. Said, if I gave you one opportunity, one chance to define yourself and said you have this opportunity, how would you choose to define yourself? God chose to define himself. Look, he said, I am the one who makes a way in the sea. That is my God. That is your God. The one who makes the way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Our Heavenly Father, join me now, our Heavenly Father, and speak to us and move through this crowd. Speak. We open our ears to be attentive. We open our eyes to see things that we've never seen before. And we stir our hearts and open our hearts to be moved by you. Join us now and move like you've never moved before. Amen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob becomes Israel. Israel, Jacob has a son named Joseph. You follow? Joseph, through an incredible story that you can read all about it in Genesis, Joseph ends up being a huge deliverer, leading God's people to salvation in Egypt. The problem is they got stuck there. Okay. Got stuck there for about 210 years. The story of Moses really begins by understanding what got them there. Because that's going to tell us why do they need to then leave, okay? Stay with me. I'm going to get a little teachy for a second, but I promise you we're going to rip the roof off this thing in a second. Okay, here we go. Some important characters you absolutely need to know about. Pharaoh, the Bible says in Exodus 1, it says there rose up a king who did not know Joseph, did not understand the good things that Joseph did for his area. He did not understand it. He didn't know what they did. But here's what he did know. Here's what this Pharaoh did know. He said, they are mightier than we are. Interesting. Said, the enemy of God's people said, they are mightier than we are. And unless they fight us, then we need to set up taskmasters to oppress them. Look at why he set up people to oppress them. Because he was concerned, if they fight us, why? We will lose. We'll lose. Isn't that vindictive of our enemy? Doesn't that tell us something about our enemies? That if they knew, if God's people started to understand who they were, if they started to fight against us, we would lose. See, they know. I wonder why we don't always know. But that's Pharaoh. Pharaoh told the Hebrew midwives, he says, if there's a son, I want you to kill them. Somebody's about to get some deliverance right here, I'm telling you. He said, but if it's a daughter, you can save them. Let's talk about him. So Pharaoh goes to the midwives and he says, I want you to do this. Finds out it doesn't happen. And he goes to the midwives. Check out what he says. Exodus 1:19, if you're following along, says, because, she said, why did you not obey? And the Hebrew woman responded, and she said, the midwife, she said, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. And then she snapped her fingers and wagged, right? Okay, so it's in the message. It says, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives even come to them. This is the first actual documented time that shade was thrown, because massive amounts of shade saying, we don't need them to even show up. We don't even need them to show up. We're not like your people. Then Pharaoh commanded and he said, every son who is born unto you shall be cast into the river. Say, throw it in the river. Okay, throw it in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Isn't that just like Satan? I'm going to go there for a second. Isn't it just like Satan to downplay the importance and the value of a woman? Wow. Oh, stay with me. Here we go. Satan is saying, this is what the enemy is saying. The men I'm worried about. You can kill the men. I'm not worried about the women growing up. I'm not worried about the women growing up, the ladies growing up. And here's what he's saying, because they are easier to control. They're not so much of a threat. If I'm a woman, that kind of ticks me off. That kind of ticks me off. You will tell me I'm easier to manage. I'm easier to control. You don't tell me no, but what Satan doesn't understand is this very story, and I'll uncover it, starts with women. The women disobeyed. Oh, come on now, church. The women disobeyed. We're going to get to it. I'll come back. I'll come back in a second. No, forget it. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for powerful, strong women in our church. Powerful, strong women that will speak the truth. Can I tell you, I grew up with my mother and father are sitting over here to the side. Shout out to mom and dad. Wouldn't be here literally without them. I grew up with a strong mother. I learned how to pray because of my mother. And isn't it something interesting that he's downplaying the woman? Look at our church. Pastor Leanne, Pastor Michaela. Look at the leadership we have in our church. What good role models we have for future generations. Future generations. It's powerful. I had a female vice president. I have a female boss. And I'm telling you, there's something powerful in this generation right now about women rising up. And God is doing something in that generation. And Satan is trying to say, you can kill the men. I can control those. But I'm here to tell you, there is freedom in this house. There is something special that a generation is going to raise up and show forth. You watch what happens as we get forward into this text. As we go a little bit further, I'm going to dive in and we're going to explore it. Moses, ultimately, his mother gives birth, but she saw that he was beautiful. I've never known a mother to not think her baby was beautiful. I think it's kind of an excuse. Spoiler alert, not all babies are beautiful. Just somebody needs to tell you. We got to speak the truth. She saw that he was beautiful and she hid him for 3 months. Now, up until then, she hid him for 3 months. Up until that point, Moses had no name. He had no name. She puts him in an ark, and she does something peculiar. Remember we said a few minutes ago, throw it in the river. And she takes him and places this beautiful child, puts him in an ark, and puts him in the river. Okay, we'll come back to that. Hold on to it. Yeah, you know. Hold on to it. Pharaoh's daughter eventually catches him, opens the crib, opens the ark, and the Bible says that Moses cried, and she had compassion on him. Another woman. I'm going somewhere. It's going to bring some deliverance. I'm telling you. She delivers him, and after a while, she says, the Bible says that she named him. But she named him after his circumstance. She named him and said, Moses, because I've drawn him out of the water. Okay. Drew him out of the water. The Bible says that Moses grew. Moses eventually, fast forward a little bit because I can't go through the whole story because I want to preach here in a second. Moses eventually kills a guy. Yeah, I made that so nonchalant. Like, he eventually kills a guy. It's kind of a big deal. It's still a big deal back then. He killed a guy. Hid the body, and he tries to run from it. But along that journey, as he's running through the desert, he has this miraculous encounter with God. And God then calls him to go back to the very place that was once so painful for him. Go back to the place where you messed up. Not to necessarily face it, but so you can lead other people out of it. Okay, you're feeling it. This is good. Some incredible things happen, 10 powerful plagues, and finally they're at the Red Sea, and God uses Moses, whose life has been delivered, and now you see Moses at the Red Sea, and what is he doing? He's delivering. I have a few points I want to jump into really quick. We have about 12 minutes, and I want to get through this. Somebody say delivered.
Delivered.
Delivered. Delivered. Exodus chapter 1 through verse 14 is the full story. I encourage everybody to read it. It's incredible. It's powerful. It's so powerful. As we read in Isaiah, God continually references back to what he did. So I'd be curious. I want you to read it. But God called and used Moses to be one of, if not the greatest deliverer. So let's learn some things from the life of Moses. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Woo! Here we go. Point number one. Moses was a deliverer. You ready? Because God is a deliverer. Made in the image of God, made in the image and the likeness of God. Moses is a deliverer because God is a deliverer. To be honest, the heartbeat of God is always to deliver. God is always interested in delivering. He's always wanting to deliver. Exodus 3:8, he gives him the example. He says, Moses, I'm going to come down and I'm coming to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. I'm coming to deliver them. Exodus 5, he's speaking with Moses and he gives Moses the instructions. He said, I want you to go tell them. So Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh. Exodus 5:1-2, he says, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may hold a feast. In verse number 2, and Pharaoh said, who? 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 No, I'm not. No, we're not doing that. Exodus 6 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Exodus 6, verse number 1. Then the Lord said, Moses, after he has this encounter, he then comes back to God. Imagine being Moses and being all charged up. And God said, and he says, who? Never heard of him. Is he on? Never mind. Forget it. Exodus 6. I don't have the time. Exodus 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Exodus 6 opens with a now. He says, oh, who? Who? He says, now will I show. Now will you see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand. Say strong hand. He will let him go. And with a strong hand. Say strong hand. Strong hand, I will deliver them out of this land. Why? Verse number 2, he says, God spoke to Moses and says, I am the Lord. And verse number 4, he said, I have established. Verse number 5, he says, I have heard the groaning. Verse number 7, he said, I've remembered my covenant. Verse 9, I will rescue them. Now will I show unto Pharaoh. Now will I show unto Pharaoh. We don't survey now what God. We survey now who God. Now who God. Not a now what. Now what. Now what are we going to do? Now what could we possibly do? I'm at my wit's end. I'm out of resources. Now what? And God says it's not a what. It's a now who. I am the Lord. I will deliver. I remember my people. I will go. Because why? I am a God who delivers. Some of you need to remember tonight that God is a deliverer. God is a deliverer. We serve a God who wants to deliver. Verse number 9 of that chapter says, "So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses." Strike number 2. Pharaoh didn't believe you. Now you go to God's people, and they didn't believe you. The problem is they didn't quite have the faith to believe. Our pastor, our lead pastor, stood up last Sunday and said, "We've bought miraculously through what God has done, bought this building, bought this building, bought this building. And then we have the faith to get into a new building." Church, if we have a man of God, if we have a pastor, if we have pastors who will step out in faith and say, maybe this place, maybe if God's leading, can it never be said of us that we would say, "But I didn't believe him"? Can I challenge us tonight, church, that if our pastor's believing for that building, if our pastors are believing, can we have enough faith to say, if he'll believe for it, I'm right there with him. If he's claiming it for God, I'll be right there with him. If somebody's believing for my healing, I will be right there with them. I believe that before we move into that building on Descanso, it will be paid for. Let's back up our pastors. Let's back up our leadership and say, if they have the faith to step out, we're right there with you. My faith will increase. My giving will increase. My stretch will go further, because if they have the faith, I have the faith. Let it never be said of us that we don't have the faith. It's an earmark of our church. God always delivers. God always delivers. This past week, I arrived in Louisville. I've learned that I've been saying Louisville, Louisville. It's not right. You just kind of have to let it fall out of your mouth. Like, Louisville, Louisville. You can't even, like, move. You just got to, like, I've been corrected more times than I care to admit. I landed about 1 a.m. I was not happy. Spoiler alert. And I go up to my Hertz member, racking up those points. Hallelujah. And walk up to the counter and I say, "Hey, I'm here to pick up my rental car. Let's go. 1 a.m. I'm tired. Got to be up in a few hours." And the guy says, what's your last name?" And I said, "Lanning." He types it in and says, "Landing?" Oh, Lord Jesus. I said, "No, L-A-N-N-N-I-N-G. I added too many N's there, but you get the point. I emphasize, re-emphasize the N. Maybe I messed it up. It's my fault. L-A-N-N-I-N-G. And he says, "I don't see anything for Landing. Do you have the confirmation number?" "Yeah, that's fantastic." I find it. I give him the confirmation number. We go back and forth several times. It doesn't quite work. Maybe Sammy didn't have enough Red Bull. I don't know. Something wasn't flowing right. So finally, I'm not exaggerating, after several minutes, what seemed like a lifetime, an eternity, finally comes up and he says, "Oh, I see your reservation. We don't have any cars." So remember that time when I walked up and couldn't we just save some time here? And now let's talk about the next issue. Your main part, the main thing you guys do. I don't know much about the rental car industry. In all fairness, I've never worked there, but I kind of think having cars is really important to what they do. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So we finally go, and I said, "Couldn't you have just told me that ahead of..." "No, okay, fine." So I decided to make probably too big of a scene than I should have. And I walk around to every rental car. "National, hey, you got a car?" "You don't have any cars either?" I went to every rental car place. They did not have cars. Okay. All that to say, eventually got a car later that day. And it was fun. Later that day, as I'm driving, I hear God say, "Aren't you glad I always deliver?" Oh, no, because see, things happen in your life that sometimes it's just for a chance for God to say, "But I could do that. But look what I've done. Aren't you glad you've never walked into church? Oh, come on. You've never walked into church and they've had the worship set and the guitars and said, hey, guys, so sorry. God's not showing up today. God's out of cars. He's out of worship. God's out of business. He's taking a nap right now. Aren't you glad God will always come through? God will always deliver. Rain or shine, sleep or no, God will show up. It doesn't matter what time it is. If you will step out, God will show up. And I'm thankful for God that will always deliver. Do you tonight need to remember that God can and will deliver? Do you need to remind yourself that God is a delivering God? Let's get going. Point number two. Point number two. Moses was a deliverer despite his dysfunction. Somebody needs to hear this. Moses was able to step into his calling and his purpose despite that ugly moment in his life, despite those heartbreak moments in his life, despite all of that, despite his dysfunction, he was still called. He was still used. He still had a purpose. He still had a mission. He still had an assignment. There was no wrong that could happen for God to possibly say, but now I can't use you, Moses. But now I can't use you. Despite his dysfunction. Anybody ever feel like Moses? You just feel like, I just can't get a break in life. I was born at a time where boys were being thrown in the river to die. I was then born, and finally when it seems like things are getting right, now I'm in Pharaoh's house. Now I'm being driven out because I've taken actions into my own hands and I've killed somebody. And now I'm running in the desert. Does anybody ever feel like the text we read, the fires will overcome, the waters are rising, the rivers are pulling us in different directions, and we feel so disheveled, and we feel so broken, and we feel so hurt. We feel like we're just always at odds and always in conflict. But God says, despite your dysfunction, despite that ugly area in your life, there's still something I can have you do. I love God because God coached Moses through his dysfunction. Exodus 9, he says, arise early. In Exodus 9, he talks about stretch out your hand, Moses. God coached him and pushed him towards his calling. God gave him permission to step into his calling. He gave him permission to move forward. He gave him opportunity and gave him another chance. Can I tell you a common dysfunction that happens in the church today? Is impatience. Look what Moses did. I believe firmly Moses knew he was called to be a deliverer. I believe he knew he was called to be a deliverer. And he took actions into his own hands. He saw his people being oppressed. And what did he do? He killed somebody. I believe in his goodness, at best, he was trying to deliver his people in his own strength and in his own hands. I wish I had more time to convince you of this, but please believe me. He tried to take action into his own hands. He got impatient, I believe. Look what happens. Okay, look what happens when he's at the burning bush. He's at the burning bush, and what does God say to do? He says, Moses, take your hand and put it in your coat. What happens when he pulls it out? Leprous. What does he tell him to do? Put it back in. What happens? It's clean. I believe what God is saying here is, I believe he's saying, by yourself, look what your hands have done. But watch what your hands can do, Moses. Watch what your calling can be like with me. I can take somebody who with your hands, you've brought death, Moses, disease. You've brought destruction. You've brought dysfunction. I can take that same hand, Moses, and I can watch what I can do. I can use that hand to bring deliverance. I can use that hand to bring health. I can use that hand because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is life, there is health, and there is hope. And he says, watch what your hands can do with me, Moses, with me, despite the dysfunction. God can deliver. God can use us to be a deliverer despite our dysfunction. Grace can turn a misstep into his step. He would have never found God's steps had he not walked and messed up in Egypt. He would have never found God in the desert. So don't discredit. Don't look at what you've done and disqualify yourself, because God is and can and will, I believe, use you to be a deliverer. Point number three, and I gotta hustle, so stay with me. Moses was a deliverer. Why? Because he was first delivered. Because he was first delivered. See, everyone sees Moses at the Red Sea with this incredible faith. I don't even need to talk to God. I don't even need God. Watch what my faith can. And then that's so far from the story. Because the story starts with a midwife disobeying Pharaoh. The story starts with a mother hiding her child. The story starts with Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter. Do you understand that? Pharaoh said, let them die. His daughter said, this one can live. Okay. Pharaoh's daughter and Moses' sister. I see four women. What a mistake, because it was first a woman who started the pattern of deliverance. Started the pattern of deliverance by preserving Moses when Moses could not do it for himself. Moses was a deliverer because he was first delivered. And Satan, so blind, so ignorant, the enemy so ignorant to it, thought he was stopping them, but what he was doing was actually motivating them to actually step away and do something so powerful. So what, I ask again, what have you been delivered from? What if your deepest pain, what if your deepest pain was the greatest source of your power? What if your deepest pain was the greatest source of your power? I believe firmly that your pain is your path. Your pain is your path. Watch this. All males thrown in the water to die. Thrown in the water to die. So the water for a generation, that water for a generation, what did it represent? Death. Death. But what was the path of his deliverance? The very same water. The very same water that had brought death to how many boys, to how many children, to how many boys that brought death. But look at the goodness of God. Look at what he's able to do, because he says, if you will submit and if you will take and put him and submit him to what some people say brings death, watch how I will preserve and bring life. Watch how I can deliver him. Watch how I can deliver a nation through what some people are saying has brought death, brought destruction. Some of you, your destiny is back at your point of pain, because now we fast forward. Now Moses' life had been saved by water. And where does Moses find himself at? Another body of water. Yet this time, Moses can take it through God's help into his own hands. He can do what had been done for him time and time and time again. He can now then say, I know the path. I know the God who's done it. Now let's go forward, because he knew what it was like to see his life saved through the water, so he could then say, I can help save your lives through the water. The Red Sea, Moses is crying out, and almost God's reply is, Moses, why are you speaking to me? What does he tell him to do? Moses says, well, they want to go back. They want to return. And God says, of course they want to go back. Because back there, it's easy. But you're not going back, you're going ahead. You're going forward. You can't go back. You got to move forward. Stop crying to me, Moses. And what does he tell him to do? Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand, Moses. Stretch out your hand. Stretch your hand towards your resistance. Stretch your hand towards your obstacle. Stretch your hand to what stands in the way, Moses. And watch what I will do. You put your hands to it. You put your hands to it in your faith. Watch what I can do, Moses. Watch what I can do. The water then became their only hope. His mother had to place him in the water to deliver him. God had to place him at the water to deliver through him. to deliver through him. He was at the water, in the water, for deliverance for himself, but now he's at the water to deliver through him, to deliver through him. So what's around you is not greater than what's inside of you, is what he's teaching you. What surrounds you, what you stand at, is not greater, but it's greater than he that is in you, than he that is in the world. And if you stand with God, you can find yourself. You can find yourself standing at some water and calling out, speaking out to what's stopping a generation from freedom. Every generation, I'm done. I'm not. I have like 15 pages, but I knew this was going to happen. God places the keys of deliverance for every generation inside people. The key for every obstacle, the key to every burden, the key to every issue, God has placed inside of you and me. Every generation has a deliverer. Every generation has deliverers. In our generation, we see a lot of racism. In our generation, we see a lot of identity issues. Right now, it seems like we're seeing a lot of sexual assault issues. We're seeing a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of poverty, a lot of fear, a lot of medical abuse, a lot of addiction. And some of you may have found at some point in life yourself struggling with any of these. But what if I were to tell you that the key to all of these issues, deliver to deliver. What if I were to tell you, no, Randy, I can't go back. I can't go back to the place of my pain. I can't go. That's such a mark of shame. That's such a glaring. I'm so ashamed of what I've done. But what if I were to tell you, what if I were to say that you are delivered, you are liberated to liberate, you are delivered to deliver. So you've been delivered, child of God. You've been delivered, you've made it through. But what if I were to tell you that now your mission is to lead other people through and to guide other people through? I've survived, you can survive. I've made it, you can make it. Look at the path that God made through the waters. He made a path through the sea. He made a path in the desert. He showed me the way. I can show you the way. Come on, give God some praise for just a minute. Yes, for hundreds of years, people cried out. For hundreds of years, people were in pain. And it got to a point where somebody finally had to do something about it. Got to a point where somebody had to do something about it. Maybe it's time we stop saying somebody should do something about this issue. And maybe it's time one of us stands up and says, I'll do something about the medical abuse issue. I'll do something about the sexual abuse issue. I'll do something about it. And maybe it's just the person who's gone through it who can speak to it. Who can speak to it. Let me end it here. Some of you, God has called you to be a deliverer, and you know it. God has called you to be a deliverer, to deliver nations, to deliver people, to speak life, to speak health, to speak power, to speak over these people. You've been called to be a deliverer. If you've sat here tonight and you felt a burning, and God's brought something to your mind, and he said that, and he keeps pricking you at that. If you believe God could use you to deliver a generation from some bondage, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Do this. Come down. Come down. Come down. If God has called you to deliver, meet me at the front. Say, I'm stepping forward. God has called me to bring deliverance in some area. God has called me to deliver in some area, in some fashion. Yes. Look, God. Look at the deliverers. Look at the deliverers. Look at your people stepping forward. I'll tell you, here's what happened. The Bible says that Moses was in the desert. The Bible says that Moses was in the desert and he saw a burning bush. He saw a burning bush. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses, the Bible says. It didn't say God appeared to Moses. It says the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses. And Moses had made a statement. He said, now will I turn. He says, now will I turn. You get the point? Then the Bible says, then God. God responded to Moses' turn. God responded to Moses saying, I will now turn. I will now turn. Why did I have you come down? Because you have said, I'm responding to what God is saying, and I will now what? Turn. I will now turn. Lift your hands. Heavenly Father, you see the keys. You see God's people. You see your people crying out to you, believing they will deliver, believing they will deliver. Father God, I declare now that through this church, that through the willingness, through the hearts of these people, through the hunger of these people, through the longing for you, that as they step towards you, you will step towards them and anoint your people now. That you will anoint your people now to speak life and to break bondage, to break the chains of the enemy, that they will break off the bondage that has left our people in ruins, and they will lead a charge that will mask and go over beyond this city, God, beyond this state, God, beyond this nation, God, but a global movement that will happen, and it'll start with God's people. Repeat after me, say, God, I am a deliverer for this generation, raise me, God, with the keys to release, to bring life, to bring liberty, and give you the glory. Give God a shout if you're a deliverer. It all starts, first of all, if you're in this building and you have never trusted Christ, every head bowed and every eye closed. Believers, begin praying with me. Pray that God will continue to move, because there are hearts that are distant from God, and God is drawing them now. God is drawing them now. If you're in this building and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you've never made Jesus the King of your life. You've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior. You've never made Him the supreme voice and authority in your life. It all starts now. Maybe you're in the front and you say, I am a deliverer. God has called me to be a deliverer. It all starts by putting Jesus in the proper place, by putting God in its proper place. If that's you, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Everybody say it with us. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm reaching out to you. I recognize I need you, and I want to make you my Lord and Savior. I recognize your son's death, and I recognize Jesus rose again. I'm putting him at the primary seat in my life. And I thank you for what you're doing in this church. Amen. Amen. If that was you, and you would say, I've been far from God, and I need to make him the supreme authority in my life. If that was you, and you prayed that, and you say, that was for me, I needed to make God the supreme authority in my life, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Church, let's give a hand clap. Amen. I believe the hope of this generation is sound. I believe God's going to do a mighty and powerful work, and it starts with you being where you are. Notice the burning bush was where Moses was. The burning bush was where Moses was. Wasn't in a far off place. He was in the desert. It was in the desert. God's going to show you how to be a deliverer. And it's going to start where you are. It's going to start where you are. If you believe that, would you give a great big shout for Jesus Christ? Let's give it up. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.